Welcome to this week, Linux User Group, Eau Claire Linux User Group. Today is January 8th, 2009. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing?
Good.
Very good.
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 Everybody had a good Christmas or...
Yes, yes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. A turkey, ham, or whatever,
Vegetarian.
Potatoes.
Potatoes. A lot of pasta.
A lot of pasta and potatoes. So, shall we go with our 2 minutes of fame?
Sure.
Who wants to start?
I don't know where to start. We have so much. I bought Mimi one of the Igala or Igala frames, the little frame, and Mimi bought me a bamboo for Christmas.
The
Linux frame.
What's a bamboo?
A bamboo is a little Wacom tablet, which is also very nice. And for New Year's, we got ourselves a new Brother HL2170W black, just plain black and white laser printer, which is very nice. It has a wrapper for cups printing. It's so there's fair Linux support. There's no PPD for it, but it's got a routine to. Brother gives you deb files that you can use to set cups up to print to it from Linux. So it's been pretty good. I do have a technical question. I may have done something very stupid today, so I got to ask you whether I did this to the thing. We're down at the other end of the house with the laptop, and the wireless doesn't, it's not a good strong signal down there. But you can put two access points. I mean, you can put as many access points as you want, right? And do you have to be careful what channel you put it on? Because I hooked up a Linksys access point today.
Use the same channel, that's all.
Use the same channel?
Use a different channel, same SSID.
All right, here's the situation. We have two buildings. I have two buildings. I have an access point up at the one building, which is a barn, which has one channel, and an access point in the house, just one, that has a different channel. And as far as I know, those two signals are far enough apart that they can't hear anybody, each other. Then we also have a pass-through, because it's just, there's an area in the house that we couldn't run wire to, so we have it working the other way. There's a little box with an antenna that actually sends the signal out to four or five other, Ethernet plug places on that thing. But the bedroom is like behind several pieces of plumbing and a refrigerator and a tile wall, and so the signal just doesn't get there. So I want the access. I have a wired Ethernet port in the wall there. So could I possibly fry that access point by setting it up wrong down there? Because the network access light doesn't even come on. It detected it with the setup software, and as soon as it reset, it went dead. The access light doesn't even light up. So I think it was just a lemon. I mean, I think I just bought a piece of equipment that's...
An access point is like two different wireless routers?
Yes. An access point is a wireless router.
It is, okay.
So if you're two access points,
you're okay. Bigger organizations, what they do, like with our company, we have, we use the Symbol WS2000s, which is, there's like one central wired device that provides four power over Ethernet ports to it.
Okay.
So with one centralized device, you can set up four different APs and then manage them centrally through one interface. So you log into a web interface that looks similar to any D-Link or Linksys or whatever you buy, and then you configure each AP, and you can set them up to be like B or G or N or
Mixed.
A or all of them, and then you can set the channel assignments, the power output, the security, the you want to use radius.
And the idea is just to get more laptops able to be on your network.
And or a larger,
or larger area.
Area, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so as long as I didn't fry it, I'll get another one and try again, that's all. I don't want to make the same mistake twice.
Has good deals on.
Yeah, they didn't have an access point. They had a router that could also be used as an access point, but I just want straight access point.
Oh, you just want straight access.
Yeah, that's all I need there. Yeah.
You are doing just fine.
Yeah, we did really, it's been fun. The frame is really kind of interesting. We set it up with Flickr and Gmail. Anything you send to Gmail, you know, it downloads and shows. Actually, what we're going to use it for is Mimi's recipes, because we have it on the counter. So anytime she wants, anytime she wants to see, you know, we'll just...
You put a mouse and
Well, you can start this on the forums for the iGala and respond under the wish list of software. I've got it already. You know, put on some software.
Well, I'm waiting for the hacking thing so we could just get a little Linux box going.
Wait, it's me here.
Oh, yeah, I will.
No, go on their forum and respond to me.
Okay.
So that it sounds like it's coming from somebody completely different.
Sure. Yeah, but it was really, the hardware is very nice. It's a very nice piece of equipment.
Would that cost?
I don't remember. Well, we're not Keith. We don't keep too many secrets like that. You know, we're the same credit card. So
probably buy it together.
You know, I buy it with our credit cards.
$239.99.
Yeah, it was something like that.
We're gonna ask how I know how much it is. Yeah, I got one too.
$240.
Yeah,
they're nice.
That's a full touchscreen.
Yeah.
And wireless.
Oh, okay. So it's more than just one of those desktop picture frames. This here is a menu.
Yeah, it's got a little slideshow and a menu. Yeah, it's not real big. It's, you know, it's a little on the small side.
So it would work for recipes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sends us a weather report that updates periodically. I mean, I forget which one is that. Is that the Microsoft Live or whatever, or another? So, but all of those things work, and they set up very easily.
You know, you could actually have your cans we are taking from the refrigerator scan, and then it would actually print what are being sampled. You got a microwave for that subject. If anything, you can actually keep you too.
It's a great way to mess up a wireless microwave. Oh, yeah. Screen, cell processor. And team knew that they're going to embed. I don't know how many people have worked with the cell processors at all. It's the same thing as the PS3s. They run mostly. Yeah, pretty awesome.
Just to give you some information on that, I actually looked into hacking it. Really, nobody has looked at it yet, just because they said we're going to open it up and we're going to provide an API. I looked at their firmware update, and the firmware update is actually just a zip file and shell script. So by altering their shell script slightly, I was able to dump the entire contents of the hard drive onto a flash drive and then look at it. It's a Blackfin processor, embedded Linux. It's using UC Linux, and the graphics are done with X Nano. I think Conqueror can be compiled to run on X Nano, so you could install Conqueror on it fairly easily if you cross-compiled it. I looked into that. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it could be done. I know their software uses Lua scripts for all the interface, for all their interface. Mm-hmm. So they're compiled Lua scripts. I couldn't look at them, but should be fairly easy to reverse engineer.
Decompilers are easily available.
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to set up the community, my Windows Linux picture frame laptop. I don't know, maybe. But probably what I'll do is I'll try and write a little program and put it on there and see if I can get something to actually run.
Yeah, and I should say thank you, Byron and Brian, too. And Loesch for sending that URL. I was just lazy. I didn't want to. Loesch complained that he didn't
send it. Yeah, I saw that. He CC'd everybody when he complained. I just check it out. Well, I was supposed to private. I was supposed to privately complain to you.
Right. It doesn't pay to complain to me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Right.
You drive your info on. So everything else is on the website.
Mm-hmm. Well, not everything.
I'll keep you updated.
Almost everything.
Almost anything. The only anything worthwhile
person is out. So.
But yeah, it's been. And by the way, that printer really is a nice printer. I mean, I've had several laser printers, and that's it prints. The print quality is very good. It's very easy to set up. It's Is that the same one you bought, the HL2170W?
I have the 4070.
Okay, does that do it? Can you do 11 by 17 on that? Does that get up to that?
No.
I think the 4040 does 11 by 17.
that might be.
I like further.
Yeah, I was impressed with their website. They have a lot of good support on the website.
My brother works for Linux right out of the box, and I have to flash it for Windows. You know, I don't speak to my brother.
Not getting along so well, huh?
I thought you did for a brother.
I have a brother story, too. We have a HP fax machine, and we were on our third rendition of it, and in the between, getting the new one to fix it, we busted out our old brother fax machine that we had on the shelf for probably 2 years at work, plugged it in, fired it up, and kept working. Without a hiccup, without.
Good.
Probably makes good equipment.
Yeah, obviously, because all of the HPs, we left.
Well, yeah.
So if anyone's listening to this broadcast, by all means, send a little note to Heather and say that donations would be accepted.
Our sponsor for this week is Brother.
Well, you know, I'm asking about the 11 by 17 because I'd like a large format, and I will never use another inkjet or laser jet printer because it just. I just get sick and tired. So, yeah, go to the poorhouse, and if you don't print 16 prints a day, next time you go to use it, it doesn't work.
Lasers once, that's it.
Yeah, but I can't afford the Lexmark 11 by 17 printer. It's like $3,200. So
what was yours?
You're looking for the one that's very good, but not that expensive.
Mine's $300.
And they say it's a very good printer. Those brother that do the 11 by 17, so I'll probably end up giving it a try.
When you guys talk about printers, we also bought a printer. We bought an HP, and like the brother.
Well, HP is good too.
It was pretty good, actually. It does have that's a multi-purpose, so it has a scanner, and fax, and copy, and printing, and it's laser printer. So there was a Linux driver, it does do the scanning, and it does everything, whatever it needs to do. So it was also painless, and it worked pretty good, so I just say. So let's say you buy HP, and you actually get this driver. And
did
this driver
it
support.
With this
it didn't come on CD, but when you went on a website, they were saying, well, here's this dev file. I don't know if it was dev file or
uh-oh, you got a device communication error.
Yeah, we have to connect it to my printer here.
Set up your IP.
Is it a USB or IP?
It is, right now, it plugs to a router. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
So that's what it is.
Some of the newer routers are coming with USB ports right now, and you can share it right from it. It's kind of nice.
So it is really nice that as long as you're on a network, you actually don't have to worry about that. And this driver support, I don't know, 1500 printers, HP printers. So, I really like the Linux HP driver. Because when I had a HP printer, it was a bubble jet, business HLM, the 2200. It stopped working in Windows because my cartridges were too old, because they reported the date when they were expiring. Well, Linux didn't tell what the date was, so it worked just fine on Linux. It couldn't print my Windows at all.
So some of the new printers are plugging right into your Ethernet. That's all.
Oh yeah. This one's actually Wi-Fi.
My printer's got Wi-Fi too. Yeah.
As long as you're pretty close to the.
Yeah, there was it works quite a possibility well. For Wi-Fi.
Well, we have enough wires
around. Yes,
we do. Can't imagine that at your house.
You don't want to know.
All right, you done with your?
Oh yeah. No,
it's 2 minutes. It's not a stretch now.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
No questions. We can move on.
Who's next? Me.
I'm sure.
All right. Pretty eventful New Year's time. Byron helped me pick out a new computer, at least all the components for it. So, so then I got stuck reading about video cards. Holy smokes! I just thought these were a simple thing you hooked your screen up.
Don't read.
Well, I did, and then I got stuck in this Tom's Hardware site.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I was looking there and reading up on them, and, you know, then you go on Newegg, and man, there's got to be 1,000 video cards.
Oh, credit cards, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was interesting, though. I sure learned a lot. So the rest of it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, you know, the processor and the motherboard and the memory aren't that tough, and the hard drive is easy. But then you get to these video cards, and, you know, then you go on NVIDIA's site, and it says, you know, look below at our handy chart to figure out which video card you need. And all of them are rated like super duper good, except the very cheap one, and that one's, you know, pretty good. So it's like, well, that didn't help a damn bit, so.
You buy the super cheap one.
No, I bought a $110 one, so. Yeah, I mean, you know, they go up pretty quick from there.
It's a strange business, those video cards, because they need to turn new products so often, just to
compete. So the ATI and NVIDIA, it's like constantly going at it.
Yeah, so.
Actually, I think is that they can't buy components in more quantity than what they get. The manufacturers of the components run their run, and then they move on.
And
so you can only manufacture a certain number, and they have to keep redesigning the card because they can't get components.
I started to notice that some of the latest chips, like from NVIDIA, they're starting to go with the like multi-core direction, just like a lot of the processors have. And one of the highest end NVIDIA ones, and I forget the model, but had like 9 graphics cores on the graphics chip. I thought that was kind of interesting.
AMD for either this year or the beginning of next year has got scheduled Fusion, which is going to have 2 processor cores and 1 graphics core on one chip.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Grading platform as well, too, which is kind of interesting with the Phenom, too. We're now back into the 1990s when 3DFX really said multi-CPU.
Well, the problem with Linux and video cards is you got to be 2 or 3 generations back to get any support.
Well, here's if you
ATI.
AMD is trying to fix that. ATI really isn't. AMD, the parent company, came over and said, if you're doing this, I'm sure that's what happened.
Yeah, well, I usually get a good buy on the current video card on my best Linux machine is an ATI Radeon 3500, I think, or 3600. And I usually buy them when I get them at a good, you know, when the price really starts to roll off, I buy it, put it away for 3 years, and then I install it. And then I get perfect Linux support right out of the bat.
And then the support is there, you're saying.
Yeah, by then they've caught up and, you know, got some decent drivers for it.
Can I
eat
Pepsi's?
I'll just use
water. Sure, go
ahead.
Water,
sure. Water and cherry Pepsi are in there. That was good.
So that was interesting, really interesting. I learned a lot. Thanks, Byron. And then, now the second thing is I put together a computer for my parents, and I'm putting Ubuntu on it, and they are absolutely almost computer illiterate, so we'll see how it goes. Because right now they've got a Linux machine, or a Windows machine, and it's a disaster with viruses, and, I mean, it takes them, you know, it takes them 45 minutes for the thing to load up, because it's just got so many viruses, and...
It needs to send all those mails.
Well, the problem with it is they can't distinguish, you know, you'll get this thing that pops up and says, oh, download this to clean your registry. Well, they can't determine if it's a legitimate thing, so they download it, and it's just a disaster, so. Yeah, I mean, if they can get their email, and they can get on the internet, and maybe watch some Flash stuff, that's the extent of what they're going to do, and I think it's going to be wonderful.
I think that's the perfect situation for Linux.
Yeah, I've got it all set up for them, you know, everything done. So, and then I got one last question. You know, back in it was probably the middle 80s, Cray Research came out with these supercomputers, you know, and they built them in Chippewa Falls. What were they, or what are they, or?
Multiprocessor, vector processing is their big bread and butter as of that era, specifically. So, they're doing a lot for the government, and I don't know if you know about vector processing.
No, I don't know anything.
Pretty much, they're massively parallel.
Exactly.
And the speed was about, what is this computer right now?
Well, your end-to-end speed is not going to be that good, but it was all about parallelization.
So basically, it was like a whole bunch of computers linked together working towards one goal.
Processors.
Yeah. The processors.
High level, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm more positive.
You can go, there's a CV in Chippewa Valley, MIT.
You can go to CVIT.
And it's actually music.
CFMIT.org.
Yeah, it's a museum, and you can see actually those great computers there.
You mean the actual computer itself?
The actual, how it looked like, yes.
Yeah, really awesome ones.
Oh, you mean it's a picture of it? You don't, you actually...
No, it's there.
Oh, it's actually, a museum.
It's a museum, yeah, website.
It's not like that.
What's that website?
See if I have my feet down over.
Cherry was here, right?
Chipotle Falls Museum of Industry and Technology.
He could have just said that. Holy, come on, I said that. Refund, but nobody got it, or rebates, you know, so then you gotta take that into account. I think that new egg is a pretty good thing.
I have said a lot, I bought quite a few things.
Yeah, okay.
Free shipping that you usually get, and then no tax.
Yeah.
I also recommend General Nano Systems. They have a storefront on the city, but they,
Is this what it is?
They have some components in the base system.
General?
Nano Systems.
General Nano, okay. What's this one, ProVantage?
Yeah, their prices are all over the place. Sometimes they're more, sometimes they're less, but it always pays to check and off, I've often found it.
Yeah, memory motherboard, processor, hard drive, and video card, I think were the...
See, back when we were in school, we didn't know computers had cases. We thought they all came on paper.
And you cooled them with a mist of compressed air?
You kept the air conditioning on in the room, and you didn't allow more than four people in the room at the time.
Yeah, that's amazing when you look back at it.
Unless they had cold shield.
Yeah, well, they had the core, you know, the little tubes with the wrappings on them. That was the core memory.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can remember this guy, Bill Tuttle, who used to do these. The whole point was that you'd start with a shape here and it would like morph into some other shape. And he was printing out these long pieces of paper, you know, it was in the graphics and art department. But he would be like in the whole, Carnegie Mellon, all the buildings that he built that if the college was a failure, they could turn it into an assembly line. So all the hallways run down the slope so that, you know, they have gravity feed for any assembly line that they put in there. And Tuttle would be out in the hallway with literally like 100 feet of these punch cards, you know, stacked out on
the old computer.
Yeah, the old computer cards. He would have like 100 feet of them, you know, running down the hallway that he was sorting and putting in certain orders for these programs he was running. It was really quite amazing.
Yeah, they put them in big boxes. You put a whole thing of them in.
Yeah.
I remember
that. But it was really something to see. It was really quite amazing.
Yeah, what a difference. Just
in my lifetime.
I got an iGallo picture
for you. You too.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you just want me to make a list of all the gadgets I got so you can...
Well, this is my fourth little embedded Linux gadget. I love it.
I'm using it for recipes.
We're working on it.
No, we're using it for pictures right now.
It's got all the porn on this card. It's a little picture card.
Yeah, it's even interactive. You can touch it.
Interactive porn. Wow.
I slap your hands in.
Just webcast is webcast gonna get an R rating now.
Yeah, we'll probably get some people listening to it.
It'll be interesting. The iGals do the iLife 09 announcement came and announced that iLife 09 is now being used facial recognition algorithms to sort your pictures for you.
Yeah, faces and places.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
I was watching the videos before I came here.
You're wasting your time sorting them.
No tagging anymore.
It's pretty
interesting.
That's how it takes.
I also got an iClip mini DVD recorder. It records 720p. Yeah. The 720p video.
It's like the iClip what I have.
Yeah. The high def one.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I had to have high def. Oh, hang on. Demo. I've never seen it. Just a little video recorder. It's about that big square.
They
had a run of Woods a couple weeks ago.
Okay, now I have to turn the
so, haven't had a... So, what about demo? Do you have a demo?
A demo of what?
Not here.
We don't know. We actually will be talking.
I wanted to show it.
Linux doesn't play video.
Linux doesn't play
My place, right?
No. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, Amanda's Triple E. Yeah, the hard drive, you know, the solid state hard drive that is supposed to be, way in the future and is not supposed to, you know, crash. Yeah, it doesn't work so much.
So, what, is it done getting written to, or what's the problem?
I don't know.
Well, it's in the future yet.
It won't mount and it gives bad errors. So I'm gonna try and get DD Rescue on it. I can still boot it because it actually does have two hard drives, and it's the user space one that isn't working. So I'm gonna use DD Rescue, try and copy it off onto an external network.
How do you replace the hard drive?
Was it trash? Don't know.
It's still built right on the motherboard.
It's a flash drive.
Yeah, but I want to try DD Rescue to get the data off.
I didn't hear I didn't spend so much time on the web recently, but I didn't hear about anybody's the hard drive thing. It's not a thing.
Might have been Fluke, but.
What device has this?
Triple E.
That little white
laptop.
Yeah, but I'll bet at first fail, I'll bet they're gonna have massive problems with those.
Well, they've been ramping up capacity though, so you gotta think they've been doing the testing on the back end.
This is one of the first iterations too.
How much space do you have?
This one was 16 gig, and then the one with the operating system on it is 4 gig. So the 16 gig one is one of
them. So it has two drives?
Yes.
And are they built right onto the motherboard?
I have no idea. I haven't unscrewed anything yet.
Yeah, good try.
There's a panel on the back. I might, if I can't use DD Rescue, I might look at that and see if there's a regular serial ATA interface just so I can plug it into something else and dump the image of it. Because I still think I could probably run that disk on it if I can get the contents of the hard drive onto another PC. But it won't, that disk will fail immediately because it'll read a bad sector and won't work. So DD Rescue, what it does is if it reads bad information, it writes it zero and then tries the next byte. If it still reads it, writes it zero, tries the next byte. So you get over the bad sectors, and then when you run FDisk, it's not a bad sector, it's just wrong information, and FDisk can fix it. So.
What is a bad sector? I mean, they try to write to it and the stuff coming back is wrong? How do you know it's...
The information coming off of the hard drive, the internal circuitry, the signal has to be within a certain range for it to be a 1 or a certain range for it to be a 0.
There's actually a person who's listening to us and he said that he will try to write, do HDR, but then so they give the tips how to increase the lifespan.
What's HPR?
Hacker Public Radio. That's where our recordings are.
Right. And I was amazed that for the file system, they just did a regular EXP3 file system. It wasn't anything special for the flash. So I don't know if they've got some underlying circuitry that takes care of that, or if they are writing entire sectors at a time and attacking it. But I mean, it's just standard usage, so it should have been.
Sure.
Anything. Yeah, and it's got the default operating system on it. I mean, besides unlocking advanced mode, everything is pretty much stock on there. So I don't see any reason why it should fail, especially this quick.
I think you need to buy a brother PC.
Yeah, brother Triple E PC. Yes. The screen would look nice.
But you have to print everything to read it.
Yes.
That's not so funny. They used the only communication with the PP, what was the PPD-8 that you had? PDP-8 was a telex machine. You know, she used to type things in and the thing would type back, you know. It's
all like an echo thing. Huh?
Yeah.
If it was a brother, you wouldn't have a keyboard either. You'd have to enter everything in with a little 4-arrow pad and a little screen.
I thought that was a cell phone.
All right, moving right along.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to do these off.
Yeah, we actually, I think that we should ask if we can post it here. That would be the first thing.
These are yours.
Oh, thank you. That's such a generous person.
Well, since you don't have a brother, I figured I would share it.
I have a sister. I dumped her. Hey, did you get the app in for the group?
I want.
He wanted to be adding on. Cool. How are you? How was your trip?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Train ride.
It was a little cold going there because our train froze. Like, these things are heated electrically, and somehow we lost heat. And so that wasn't fun. And then it was 4 hours late getting us, picking us up. But that should, you know, that. That didn't even compare to trying to get home. Get home, it was supposed to be there at 11 o'clock.
A.M. in the morning?
A.M. On Saturday. Montana.
Okay,
so it was supposed to be 11 a.m. Montana time, home time. And yeah, it didn't show up until 8 a.m. the next day.
Wow.
Ooh,
yeah. You're almost 24 hours late?
Almost 24 hours.
I should have warned you, because the Broadway Limited that used to leave Pittsburgh at midnight never left before 4 a.m.
They had a freight train breakdown problem.
I was always going with my roommates and play chess.
They moved like past one stop, so they picked people up. And then another freight train broke down in front of them, and the freights were locked, so they had to come in like replace the airs on its own. So that pushed it back another 5 hours, and you know, it's snowing, and we weren't even sure if the roads were going to be open to get to the town where we had to get on the train, because it was snowing 10 inches the night before, and they had 40 mile an hour winds. Highway Patrol up there just says, we don't want to deal with it, close the road, and put a gate across the road, you don't put it across the road. But, yeah.
Well, they do that even in northern Minnesota.
Yeah,
Minnesota.
Yeah, they do it right
here. They do it in Wisconsin. I spent 4 hours in a coffee shop in Black River.
Right in 93 and 94.
Oh, yeah, they do it, don't they? That's right.
Yeah,
how
do they do
it? There's a gate there. Yeah. Yeah. That's a new thing. The trip was nice, though. We got it in the mountains for a couple, small mountains for a couple of days. The big guys had a cabin up there. Snowshoot around and ski. Took a little while to warm the cabin up because the stove was
horrible. Oh, they're miserable.
As long as you have a great time, you know.
Oh, that was funny.
But, I didn't have any technology in my house this week. I just have another piece of woodwork in mind, so now I've got a nice router.
Cool. Yes. Got a router table yet?
Not yet.
That's your next thing, man.
That's my next thing. I've got the bibs, I've got the router.
Yeah, not a planer.
Yeah.
That's expensive, but that's another thing you need.
Well, table saw is maybe my next big.
Oh, yeah. Purchase. I don't have that.
You got the room. Table saw is pretty essential.
All that stuff takes up the room. What is your naked mess?
Well, the stationary affordable table saws.
Yeah.
But that's good, I think.
Yeah, if you have a table saw, you got to get the big workspace on it, or it's really, there's such a limitation.
You can stick it on base on the little base. So.
Yeah, you can put wheels on it.
This has disappointed me there. They're supposed to release the AAA monitor months ago, and they still haven't done it, so we'll just find out. That was supposed to have touch screen and wireless, also built into a monitor. They still haven't released it. They don't even talk about it anymore.
Cool, yeah.
Asus. Well, now I'm going to probably get the iGal once I get the
once I hack it.
Once he hacks it, so I can get my recipes for it. Because that's what I want the AAA monitor for. I have the kitchen right there.
Yeah. Well, our idea, last one to get it.
Last one to get it. It was my idea, last one to get it. But
aren't you going to get some stepper motors and have a little computer operated lathe and all that stuff and do some computer system fabrication or the dust collection?
Yeah,
have it right in your living room?
You can use those stepper motors right in the kitchen and hook the iDale up to it and have it cook for you.
My usual joke was that 5 years I worked on the saw, but nothing happened.
What happened before that?
Yeah. The only other big news was big fingers, what I'm missing. The only other big news was I just got a puppy.
Old school.
That's nice.
I'm sorry.
So,
like a real, like a little thing?
Well, it won't be. It will now. It won't be.
Yeah.
We went as big as any as you could go.
What kind is it?
Great Dane.
Oh, great. They're beautiful. Beautiful animal.
Those are big poops.
Good luck, man.
Cheryl, it's a play if you just remember coming to his house.
So you're going to go from wall to wall newspaper to no grass in your backyard. That's what it's about.
No, they're pretty laid back grass. They're not high energy and stuff. It's the beach is fine.
They're beautiful. Yeah, we had a friend in Pittsburgh, like two Great Danes. They were just wonderful.
Moving couches.
One time I met somebody with the two Great Danes in Chippewa Falls in the park. Mm-hmm. And they are very great. I mean, they're beautiful animals. Mm-hmm. The boy they were sharing. You know, they don't have a long fur, but they were, you know, it was all over the place.
So we're expecting, you know, in a year she should be about at least 30 inches high at the shoulder, probably about 100 pounds.
Cool.
So, at least 30.
At least 100 pounds. So you have a baby.
Yeah.
Get up every night at 1 a.m. and 1 a.m. when the alarm goes off.
It's kind of. So first people get married, then they have a dog, and then they have a kid. The dog goes
after the dog is going to punish that kid.
Yeah. You know what though? The kids are less work than the damn dog. I thought. I hate puppies. Wreck the house.
It's more fun to make
anyway. Hey, cool.
Well, you know, I don't know, then I have a dog, my oldest son is a dog, he's still cheese. He's 6 years old. He's fans every day.
Somebody from work sent me this 14-second clip on YouTube, you have to listen to it. It's from CSI New York. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it or not.
CSI New York. It's a TV show.
It's going to be too quiet.
Well, can't he download it on his machine?
Do you have better speakers? Yeah.
I have a speaker. What? No, I don't.
Oh, those don't have speakers. Those things.
Yeah. It's not great enough. That's as loud as it goes. It's a laptop.
It's a laptop.
If it was my laptop, it would be loud.
Oh, wow.
Mine has a base port. I'm not even kidding. On the battery, there's a base port. But anyway, it's on CSI New York. They pretty much they don't know technology at all, so they were trying to come up with something that sounded right, but they had no idea. So
send it to me as a link, and I'll put it in a newsletter.
Okay.
So it's actually a good idea.
I can send it to you right now. Do you have better features?
Send it to your Igala frame.
that plays
MP3.
Does it play videos?
Yeah.
Will it play like DVR and
I think so. Yeah. I'm not sure what it plays. It plays MP3s.
It might play videos.
I think it does do videos.
Wow. Yahoo.
Just stick it on the IRC.
Oh.
Fine. I'll get on IRC.
Really?
Sorry to make you
feel like a lot of memberships I used to.
So how are you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just life on hold.
Yeah. You're gonna tell me in 3 weeks you did nothing?
Why?
Good job.
You mean you were sitting in the couch watching football, drinking beer, and your kids kept flipping the channel?
That's the goal of everyone.
Boy, I need the words for it.
That's interesting. Yeah. Brains are open when they haven't learned that much.
Try that.
We can just click right on the link.
I don't know.
I think he paid, I'll say it was like 12, maybe 5 for a year.
Yeah!
Not too bad.
Investigating the technique requires a certain morbid fascination.
This isn't real time. I'll create a GUI interface using Visual Basic.
Shall we do it again?
Say it one more time.
How are you going to play?
You're a giant rock. That hurts.
What? That does not want to make my head spin.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, quiet.
And investigating the Canopy Killer murders with a certain morbid fascination.
This is in real time. I'll create a good interface using visual bits and see if I can drop an IP in this.
I just thought that was quite a funny little
good stuff.
I will create a GUI interface with VB to track the thing.
See if I can get an IP address.
It's like straight on to the original hackers. That's one of the lines from the movies, and it's hilarious. It was, at the time, that was so cutting edge.
All that was missing was some chunk of art. I haven't been here for a lot longer than 3 weeks. I'm Andrew. I work with these two guys. I used to stop by every month. Last 3 weeks, I've been working a lot. My new baby is, I've been playing a lot of Open Solaris and working specifically with Postgres and MySQL, and I'm kind of database freak, so.
Any Oracle in that base?
Yeah, I have for a little bit, but not a lot, enough that
work.
That's right. I have to make some dollars to deal with that. Other than that, I haven't been doing a whole lot. I've been away from most of my systems. I've been at my mom's for the last few weeks, so I've been staying on the player. It's kind of going through a little bit of withdrawal all my time.
Cool. Well, great time.
I'm going to keep that actually 2 minutes.
So. Okay. Well, you can still go 15 seconds. Jan, next. How are you?
I forgot everything.
Oh, you are on the same track as Kenny.
No, I tore apart and bought a 750 gig drive for $65. Finally, over the break, I had the time to actually tear the case in the park and put in my desktop machine. A RAID controller on the motherboard. it might be a fake software RAID.
Mine does there.
Okay. The machine gonna blow up?
No.
Okay. Tried installing Fedora, SUSE, all kinds of stuff on it.
So we are capturing the door, right?
You know what, it made me mad again. I was playing with it again. For some reason, I go to change the appearance and the font's all like looking weird. It's happened on every either VM I installed it on my laptop and on my desktop. You don't understand.
The door distribution for the developers.
Okay.
You need to fix it. Send a patch.
I thought maybe my ring
was coming over. Yeah, unless you're bleeding out.
I did buy a new router. We're talking about routers.
You good?
Well, I can't hear. It's garbage stuff.
Well, there's a med here which has open source.
I wanted to plug it in. You can get on the internet.
So why don't you get one that you can flash so that you can actually do that?
You can plug it in and be on any kind of
then why don't you get one that you can flash?
That's a lame excuse.
I didn't hear that word for about 3 weeks, and all of a sudden it just went bloop. And then I had to reset it all.
The one I answered, removing itself.
You gotta take the cover off, drill holes, put an actual fan on it, and then hand router by the side.
I think that's the biggest problem with the routers, that they get overheated, because they are so compact and there's enough, for whatever reason.
Fans cost money.
You don't even have to put a fan if you have architect perforations in that.
Right, why buy your own?
Just use solar, what do you need to? Excuse me?
Sorbent.
Roll your own.
It's all good.
Build your own.
Sorbent and roll your own, what the?
The sorbent is, for extensible open routing protocol, maybe, but it's basically just a collection of open source software, which, I mean, it's.
It's not running hardware.
Yeah, you just buy it, basically.
You run it on your own, your computer, you mean, or what?
Right, run it on most,
There's a bunch of distributions that are just.
Yeah.
The only issue is that you need to run a computer at a time. So the router takes 5 watts, computer takes,
Energy density.
Yeah, it's not as fun as fun, yes.
Absolutely, it is good. It was nice before I had my router flashing on TDRT.
That's what a lame excuse we think, getting ready for baby and reorganizing our house.
See, so first excuse wasn't good enough, so right now you're talking another.
That's why I don't have any time.
You're gonna have another question, one, is it?
Yeah, and then I'll.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're accepting.
That's a pretty good resolution, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said Sophia.
A little small, but you can blow it up if you can, you know, manage to drag it around to see if it works.
Because he was real time characters.
I said I wanted a system. We have Liam and Maya, and I told me the name to start with an N, that's 4 letters long, to really see a pattern.
That would be a nano.
And I got a nano trouble for testing that.
You know, you are starting with the letter. You are starting with the letter that you ended with. Never mind. Don't think about it. You got a baby coming in 4 weeks. You don't have time.
You don't have time. It'll take more than 4 weeks.
Pretty much.
And you uploaded the files.
I did. It took like a month to upload the last couple files.
You are doing a great job.
You have a connection with that.
I had some fun with
it. Get out.
I wanted to ask you.
Cool.
It crashed like in general. I mean, your stream keeps cutting up today, so we'll see how long that works.
Update firmware.
I think it is because somebody is installing something here.
I tried it actually. I tried the Fedora, but it didn't automatically pick up my wireless router, so I just installed it in a virtual machine just to play with it. I'm not going to do a full install. So I just.
Are you running Fusion?
I have VMware Fusion. And then I also have a refit with a separate 20 gig partition to dual boot a full partition with
no
wireless. So I've been playing around. It has nothing essential on it, so I'm just playing around with different distributions and stuff. A Handbrake, which is fun. Well, that's just.
Is that Handbrake? But the newest Handbrake actually doesn't take the code.
I haven't tried that one. I mean, just have
it. You need to have a VLC installed. What's the coding?
What version is this? What if that's true on the.
Have you had the problem?
It's all, you know, all the spots for
changing.
What version?
9 and 10 both did. If you open up the appearance preferences and go to the font tab.
Yeah.
They all like explode, they get huge. And then I'll have to set them down to like 6 and shrink them back to about 10. So when I reboot, they're all tiny, and then I open it up and they, you know, it's just, I don't know.
I think it's just what it is.
I think all what's happening is that you have only 4 weeks of time. And everybody's trying it with some apprehension to whatever you are doing.
The universe is.
Yes.
Fired against.
Yes.
You're destined to lose.
Ready for the universal cause of most problems?
Sure.
SE Linux. They switched the certificate, or not certificates, but the default policies in 9 to actually, they pretty much turned it on.
You know what that does make? Because at one time I installed the Amani home, the server I was talk about that a while ago, but it's they, when you install the Alania HTA home digital system server, they turn off as you like install that garbage. They turn it all off.
Garbage.
Now that I think about it, that machine didn't have the font problem.
Right. And one thing,
everyone I installed by myself did whatever I wanted.
One thing I've had as an issue every once in a while, Nautilus won't be able to connect to Vulnerable in the back end, which is a configuration server, and SD Linux that's denying the connection for some reason. So I don't know.
That's why I went to the Fedora home as far as here. And that's it. Everything is working. It has beautiful appearance. It actually dims and lights and do all the things what it has to do.
And I did that too. The background turned on. I didn't realize we set up the SNL file that, you know, based on the time of day, it changes the background.
Well, that's the Fedora logo.
Original song.
Actually,
it's both. We
were dinking with it a little bit, and
you can set it down to change every 1 second. So you can give yourself a mic or anything.
Sweet. Yeah, I'd like two. Can I have two?
I don't know how long you guys are staying here, or how long you're supposed to stay here.
About nine.
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 Okay.
Why? What's the matter?
I think we might have double booked it. Whoever, I think whoever, yeah, we double booked this trip, but we'll see if we can figure something out with those ideas.
Well, the airline gives us our money back.
So what it does, there is the solar, actually, in whatever X11, USR share, there's this solar, and over there is this XML. So the GNOME reads the XML, and the XML actually is defined.
And if you can actually grab the resolution size, it's standard wide resolution.
Yes, and it...
just kind of neat.
Something. So over there, it actually says whatever it's going to be, and then there's a time when it's going to change. But if you do it for every 10 seconds, your CPU is like 50% all the time. Because when it's changing the...
Yeah, 2 cores, you're fine.
Yeah, because my core is fully occupied with changing the...
Yeah, in Windows, it's running Fire's Checker, and Linux is changing your background.
That's fair enough, yes. Yes, there you go. So
this is changing your wallpaper?
Yes. And actually, multiple, if we go here, and so you have Y the standard, and then there are four images and changes depending on the time when you say, and it cycles over and over.
Boy, there's much difference in them, is there?
Well, it's hard to tell from the
glider.
Go full screen, you can probably see that.
Most
there.
And then,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Boy, I would never even pick that up.
If you have it for each 10 seconds, you do pick it.
Oh, 10 seconds maybe, but I thought it changes every few hours.
I noticed it's supposed to start looking around the background.
It just changes every 5 hours.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be like a major change. It's supposed to be kind of
subtle. Yeah, and I'm surprised at, you know, how much CPU it takes when it goes from one image to another image.
It's
an
Dell.
It's a Ubuntu.
It
can't handle that.
Ubuntu.
Yeah.
They have a plugin to do 3D backgrounds. I think it's been, you know, like back in Windows 98 that you could have a
plug
the 3D scene bouncing around in your background.
So I love the screensavers.
Like your actual desktop would be a 3D motion. There's a package.
NVIDIA just released the 3D goggles.
They installed all these things.
Yeah, but they do, I guess, two independent 120 megahertz signals. Well, the thing is, it's just like classic 3D with basically a GPU doing the heavy lifting. On the back end, so you still have the wireless TV, which is going to do the whole offset image field and all that, but then it's going to be
in 3D.
I don't know if they set the price right there.
Okay.
Really?
So yeah. It's significant.
And then you have to buy the supported TV or equipment. Okay,
they have 3Ds. Goggles are.
Well, so it's actually more than that.
Wouldn't you want you walk with your 3D goggles all the time? Just I do walk around with 3D goggles all the time. It's amazing. And pink glasses too.
Oh, your life is beautiful.
Rosy color.
Life is beautiful. But I like to live in your world. I'm glad we agree.
I was reading today on the Fedora 11.
Is there
a half? They want to do Windows cross compiling to some degree. I don't know if they're putting together libraries or some development schemes, but actually make it easy to cross compile like C, C++, starting with.
It seems like a mistake to include that in there.
It's all in the realm of development tool packages and suites, so I guess to me it seems a little bad. About the word, I was like to add everything in the kitchen sink.
So it's adding it zero.
It's a developer. It's distribution for developers.
That one was a 20-second boot time.
I think that's what hardware they use.
Yeah, they've been working on boot times for so long, and they still aren't getting acceptable with that. I mean, they've had different tools.
I mean, they are getting better. You know, the Linux used to boot, you know.
Because the machines have gotten 10 times faster.
But also, you used to have the what was the script, which actually went from top to the bottom. They replaced it with upstart, which is more event-driven, driver example, you know, so.
I would think if you compiled your kernel specifically for your machine, you'd have a lot less.
Well, your eyes got to tweak.
That might be probably
okay. So you don't have the time to buy yourself a proper.
Did I say I was going to do it? Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you go that approach, that's probably part of the problem sometimes. Every minute's kernel, you get more of a distribution as a generic item.
Oh yeah, when I was doing Slackware, when I built my own kernel, it was like a third the size of the kernel that came with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just keep
getting bigger
too,
with
all the hardware.
Yeah, because you have more and more hardware support there.
So in theory, boot time should be going to be out of there, staying the same as hardware goes up, and modules are using those.
As well as there are different approaches how they actually, when they load the kernel, how they do it. You know, some distributions, they try to detect what the hardware you have, and then they load those modules. And some distributions, they load the whole uniform module without trying to detect whatever you have. So there are different approaches how to address.
Who are you loading on to?
Well, we got new HP printer. We heard you talk about that. I was on a vacation from the new web for 3 weeks. Actually, it felt pretty good that I didn't have to do anything. And I tried 64-bit distributions because OpenSUSE came. So OpenSUSE 64-bit works on my computer. Fedora 64-bit works on my computer, but Ubuntu 64-bit doesn't work for whatever reason. And I found it. We found it kind of odd.
It doesn't work how?
It just doesn't boot. It doesn't boot 64-bit.
It's
so,
after the install label or AMD 64
yes.
Distro, which shouldn't matter, but apparently it does. Which is just
so I thought that I'd try OpenSUSE, but never got to.
Ubuntu 64-bit works fine. That's not the goal here. I have an AMD processor.
Yes.
It shouldn't make a difference, but apparently it seems to.
There's a lot of CD magnets there.
No. It doesn't. Just you insert live CD and it's screwed up.
You have so hyper-threading.
Yeah.
You try turning off hyper-threading.
I've had issues with hyper-threading. If it doesn't work, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Well, you shut it off and then you can turn it back on once it's installed. I could do the install if hyper-threading turned on.
So the thing is that other distributions are working, you know, and this distribution, how they compile it, it's
still have to switch to a better distribution.
I know, for developers. Developer distributions for developers.
Look, developers don't put up with that kind of crap.
I know, they rolled a patch.
Yeah, they, you know, they, yeah, they make something worse.
So here's a question. I got this new computer, and I think it's 64-bit. What do I do? Just stick in the Ubuntu CD?
You can try, your 64-bit, whatever is your preferred distribution.
Well, I got the Ubuntu, the 810 disk.
Yeah.
So stick it in there, it'll go.
There's a 64-bit version, there's a 32-bit version.
Get the 64-bit version. If you try it, version, it'll tell you if it won't run.
I can bring a 64-bit version.
The only gripe I had about Fedora 64-bit was that you'll be aggressive if you're on install flash. Didn't occur to me that I had to manually create symlinks.
There's a 64-bit flash that works beautifully now.
Is it actually, you have to get the,
it's Alpha. It's Alpha, but I've had significantly less problems with this Alpha than I have with their actual release. Like seriously, Flash is actually stable now. Like, it was all in the interface wrapper between 32 and 64-bit.
If you remember when we were in Ohio, they were talking about Flash. And it was that just the developers from Adobe were talking closer to whoever are developers, and they actually streamlined. So there's their benefit to it.
Oh, game time, 8 years later.
Well,
back to your original question. The distributions are completely separate on 32-bit or 64-bit.
So I have to re-download
a 64-bit version.
Okay. That's what I said, if you don't have it, and if you want to wait, at next week I can bring you a speed.
Okay, and the advantage is speed?
It appears to be snappier.
It does, okay.
It literally changes it.
But,
yeah, 64-bit kind of like that.
But I'm more unstable?
No, I wouldn't say so. I would say your biggest benefit is that it's more snappier, but 32-bit works fine too, you know, so it's not something that you must have.
Okay.
If you have more than 4 gig of RAM,
I have 4.
You know, then 32-bit is
actually 4 is the absolute limit that you can do with 32-bit.
4, you lose whatever you have in your video card comes off of that 4, and then anything else you have.
That's all I'm going to get.
Well, the video card is, it is not more, so it's
So that would be actually your consideration that you spend money for 4 gigs and maybe you can use only 3.5 gigs, you know, with a 32 gig.
Depending on the settings, you can only use
3.2
by default.
Yeah, if you don't have
there is an internal setting where you use 4. I don't know which implications have that on.
Yes.
That's for a 32-bit.
For 64-bit box, with that process, we
just 32-bit only addresses 3.2 meg, is that right?
Gig 4.
Gig 8?
Yes.
Okay.
So then it would be, you spend a little bit more money on your RAM hardware, but you will not be able to actually address it. So that's your downside.
So you have 800 meg sitting there that's totally not being able to be used.
You cannot use it. You don't have much RAM for it. I've never been able to consume more than like a gig of memory, unless I'm running like 3 machines.
What? I got 2 when I have to close stuff all the time.
You do?
Yes.
You need to switch distribution.
In a Linux distribution, when are you going to use one? I got a gig and a half in here.
What do you do with it?
I would say most of my Linux
games. Check your email,
music, photos, email. I do some real audio stuff.
How big are photos?
I mean, I can work with one photo. I do have a 100-meg photo.
Yeah. this is over 400 meg when I loaded into the camera.
So then you okay.
400?
Yeah.
You
I have to do it at 600 DPI, otherwise I can't get high enough resolution to print it off.
Oh. Holy gosh.
Yeah, if you're doing imaging processing, you can use up a lot of RAM.
So that's where you need it, is imaging. Mm-hmm. Not looking at pictures, but actually
changing pictures. Yeah, where you're having different, you're editing and you have layers and backups.
You want to get as much of that on your graphics card as possible. On your GPU and the humble stuff, do as much as you can.
Still, you got to have, it's got to sit in memory. So if you've got 2 or 3 of those open because you're working on the 2, like, copying from this one to that one, you know, you could easily use up 2 gigs worth of memory.
Or video editing.
Video editing, then 3D modeling.
Creating some open source movies.
Yes. Oh, that would be
your video editing.
Well, if you use old handbrake, actually it'll take very well. This is the right thing for all the four cores. Actually, I just got one of the actual open source because I got the first five Star Wars.
A lot of you take stuff for it.
You've seen Star Wars? It's an open source movie.
A lot of times for video, what you have to do is you have to expand it out to the raw bits and then do operations on the raw bits. So if you're working with high def video, you know, you're talking, a lot of bits per frame. And then if that transition is going over a couple seconds, well, now you've got 50 to 60 frames that it needs to process, and it has to have all that in RAM at once.
Transcoding takes a lot of processing too. It maxes out my stuff every time I do it.
Like it'll go to 100%.
Change it from one format to another. It'll suck your processor down. Push that through.
NSP is happy. NSP is happy every time.
NSP. Should go out and launch my meter.
Transcoding, changing from like MP4 to something else, API.
Disk CC. So if you're compiling something and you've got multiple Linux machines on the network, you install the client and the server, and it'll pass out the bump it around and process it all, and then your entire Linux network shows up as like a mini cluster sort of over the networks.
On which?
Disk CC. In the past, if you need to compile things and it takes forever to get, it's a nifty little client. It's pretty easy to set up. You have a server and then you have a client, and the client just pick up little snippets of things to compile. So it's basically you're borrowing the hardware of the machine to create a little cluster in your network.
I know Cinelo for video editing has that same feature built in where you can
as a cluster.
Yeah, there's other ones too. I think it's the full DVD rip integrated that feature a while ago. If you wanted to transcode something from like raw DVD to XVID or ZivX or something like that, you could shoot a section of frames over to a different machine or whatever, and then it cuts significantly down the time.
Do it with web services.
So anyways, at my house, I'm not going to use that for brand, because
right, if you're doing that sort of stuff, then you're probably not, but...
That's this personal system, and I was like, 8 gigabyte, man. That just sounds fun. It's less than $100.
But what do you use it for?
Oh, open source. Yeah,
open source.
Cache the entire operating system.
Yes, it does cache it a lot. But, when I look at my computer, if it uses, 500 meg, the max, it doesn't. It's caching on top of it, but it's not using more.
Well, keep in mind also, it's going to matter in terms of your actual chip architecture too, because you're going to want to, if you're working with a small cache, obviously on board, then you need more value, more bang for your buck.
I always think that it won't cache.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have a preview, these are dedicated to 6 meg layer through cache per socket.
Shall we go
on
to newsletter?
Well, I'm ready.
I didn't get my 2 minutes.
I'm sorry.
I'm already coming here. So.
Alright.
So, how well are you?
Life's changing in my life, too. My wife and I just decided that we're going to start the process to adopt a baby. So, big time change and everything. In terms of technology stuff, Thank you. Bought a book. Been reading out the same thing that I talked about the last couple of weeks. Increase your web traffic in a weekend. It was $20 at Borders, and it's got a lot of cool concepts and stuff. Running a lot about SEO and different things like that. And started a pay-per-click campaign for my kids. Search engine optimization. Increasing traffic by using organic results and submitting your site to as many directories and different things like that. And the concept is if you've got your tag set up right, and you've got your website being crawled by Google, MSN, AOL, and live, pretty much the major ones, and the more submissions that you can make to crawlable blogs or directories or domains or things like that, the number of inbound links that you can get going to your site will increase the traffic and increase your ranking on the site. I also started a pay-per-click campaign for my dad's website using a website called 7search.com. It's been incredibly valuable. The concept of 7 searches, they have non-used or like not well-known search engines that they submit their content to, and then people can bid on a price, similar to Google AdWords. People bid on a price for a certain keyword so that their ad shows up on the side for that given keyword. And like comparatively for prices, like my dad is, we're currently the number one for the word hunting. I'm driving a ton of traffic to my dad's hunting and fishing website. And he's paying 11 cents per click right now. Whereas Google's AdSense is, I think it's 87 cents per click. So it's significantly cheaper per click. And we're getting good results, averaging 10 or 11 cents a click, and dumped $50 into it already, and he's already getting good. So it's been pretty good. In terms of devices, my wife bought me the iPhone.
$80 a month.
$80?
Yeah, for your native
3G service.
No. $145 a month.
Oh, I wish.
No. It's $99 a month for the unlimited nationwide plan for just calling. And then it's $30 a month mandatory for the data plan for 3G coverage. And then text messaging, they split up, which everybody's pissed about. It's either $5 or $10 or $15 for the, it's like for 200 messages it's $5, and for 1500 messages it's for $10, I think, and then $15 a month extra is
So that phone is more than $150 a month?
$145 is
the thing that
plus the tax.
Yeah, and the FCC fees.
Yeah, so you're under $60.
$157 was the first one.
Yeah, but if you gave Apple the free penny, you can tether off that baby.
I was just reading text messaging. It's something they don't want you to know about them. They use absolutely no bandwidth.
Yeah, well, I believe
it's all promises.
It's huge. It's all set within what the phone has to communicate anyway. It's set in that buffer. They just send it off. So they're just making money off of nothing. They do nothing. It's no added service. They never have to tack on. It's just showing how well it's your data.
That's, you know, what is interesting, we talk about text messaging. In Europe, text messaging is huge. People actually, they pull a text message and they talk on the telephone.
Oh, that's like kids nowadays.
You're going to get the same thing.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Shall we go on the newsletter?
I was ready.
Before I need to get my clean and actually, this newsletter is really three weeks worth of news, so it might not be such a huge news right now. But VirtualBox 2.1 was released.
It's good news for me. I didn't know about it.
Yeah, it was released in December. Did somebody try it?
No, I updated it. Said they upgraded, so I didn't know.
Don't try it. I thought it was interesting that they're integrating OpenGL acceleration into it.
It doesn't work.
I didn't say it would work, I just thought it was interesting.
No, I installed it only works for Windows based guests.
Yeah, Windows XP and Vista something.
Yeah, I think it's working either on my desktop or my laptop.
It's the first iteration around, so I'm still working on it. 64 bit support too.
I did see that, yeah, when you created an EDM, you get the option to support it on the machine. Yes.
Would you try? Try to run 64-bit guest in 32-bit.
I don't know, that would work.
That was huge. That was saying, forget about it.
There are some emulators that'll actually work on it. Where it actually emulates the hardware, but those are slow.
I still am kind of mad about their seamless integration stuff. It's not a problem with their complex integration.
But we probably
it flakes out like that.
I don't know. Cool. Then there was the news about AMD releasing open source driver. Is that a driver?
Not a driver. Actually, what it was AMD, you know, said that for ATI they're going to release all of the 3D specs.
Specifications.
Specifications for the cards.
And this was actually, instead of releasing, like, for the 400 and 500 core, they just dumped them with, you know, pages upon pages of documents. And it took them the better part of a year to actually go through the documents and make sense of it. And just now they're starting to get the, you know, drivers to the point where they're actually using that stuff. Well, this time, instead, what they did was they made a reference implementation for developers that just did a whole bunch of stuff on the 600, and that's what they released. They released the source code of that. So they pretty much said, here's how you do it, go for it.
Cool. So obviously they enable a lot of people to...
They made a little demo to gave it out. That's virtually what they did.
It's a sample code.
Yeah, sample code, which is way more useful because, well, this works, why doesn't mine work?
Yes.
Versus trying to look at the document and then, is it an error in the document, or did you miss something, or is it cross-reference with something over here, or errata, or whatever. So.
And then there was open source isn't free software. I think it was it called?
Cisco
lawsuit?
The FSF is... thing that's put down on going after Cisco.
Long-hate relationship with GPL and Cisco.
Big companies just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because they need to get slapped around with lawsuits, otherwise they just don't
care.
Well, so people in the company care, but the company as a whole doesn't, because the people never get, you know how it works.
No, tell me.
The ones at the bottom care, but the ones at the top never do it.
Yeah.
The ones at the bottom care on principle, which is why everyone cares. But the people, the big execs don't care because it's cost prohibitive and there's no real gain from a financial perspective for the company
I think it's more of a situation they just don't know what's going on.
Probably
they don't know and they don't care.
They would pay attention to any commercial license, you know, to any other licenses.
If you really look at it, they don't really follow the commercial licenses either, because they're inept, because they don't care.
Maybe if there is a money to be exchanged in a hand, you know, maybe that's...
It's more, the companies are just inept. It's not that they don't care. It's not that they wouldn't do it, but they're just inept and they can't get anything done in a reasonable fashion. So
it's not a high priority either.
The only thing that forces it is a lawsuit. Yeah. And then everybody, lawsuit.
Yeah, until it blows over and then it's right back to business as normal.
Yep, and they said that's exactly what happened with Cisco. They complained about it. Cisco's like, here. And then they went right back to business as normal, and they didn't release the next one. They called them on it. Give us a while. Okay, here.
It's like there was no anybody who was taking care of it.
Right.
Yeah, it's like they didn't people any resources to follow through
for all their routers and everything.
Yeah. It's probably busy box.
Yeah. It's a busy box for all their routers.
Cool. There was something about Barracuda. And they have, alternative to spam house and this DNS domain name spam block list. So they are releasing that. I don't know, there was a lawsuit about Barracuda.
They've had an internal list.
Trent Micro was suing Barracuda for the spam.
Spam assassin?
Yeah. And there was some, and I don't know exactly where the lawsuit is, or if it's still in a litigation or whatever. So do we care about this?
No.
No? Okay.
It's good that they're making that list open, because they've maintained a list for a long time, but it's only been available for those who purchased their embedded devices.
That's right. And right now it is open, you can actually go and download it.
So it's another source of, anti-spam, I guess.
And if you want that support, we pay money for support.
That's right.
Yeah. The understanding canonical new Linux notification system
there was something about user interface and what is going to be, actually what they are going to be paying attention to. I would say, you know, one distribution is doing one thing, the other distributions will pick it up or at least benefit from it. So that was already proposed.
90% rule. They hit 90%, so now they're starting over and going to break their consensus. That really is what they were going to do. They said, oh, the notification system isn't, the API isn't quite what we want. So we started over, and nothing is going to be backwards compatible, but it should be okay.
So,
progress.
It's going to be good. It's going to be great. And there was something about Adobe. That Adobe released Air for Linux. I think it was released at the same time with the other platforms. So, if you care about that. I guess the Air is going to be for Prism, you know. So you write one application and you can run it as a web application or you can run it as a standalone client. So that's
all in their own custom language.
Which is I don't think that it's a language. Is it a language or is it a framework? Well,
it's a framework, but then you, they have their own language on top of that.
Oh, so that's
it's like writing
does this start with half?
That may be it.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah. No, I've actually seen it in action. It's pretty cool.
Will it it's be a like, cool idea, but it'll never take off because it's not
they were established language. When I was, let's see, I think I heard from a developer implementing that, I believe it was Marshfield, a year and a half ago, and they had, I guess it was the second project they were using it with. I don't know. You know, that's obviously not wide adoption when you're kind of dumb compared to that industry.
Seems like it has a lot of potential. I mean, that really can bridge the gap between all operating systems, just to make everything either all web app or, you know,
well, that's
an application or whatever.
I think the what is nice thing about it is that you write one application as a web application, and you can present that application A as a somebody in the browser or B as a standalone application. So that you are working with a server in the back. Let's say like iTunes, so we have a server, all the LastFM server in the back, and then you can actually use your smartphone. So that was whatever is there. When we're talking about it, they are using their own language to write user interface in VB to capture the IP address.
Well, basically, it's their functional variant that's on top of that.
I'm sure it's going to be great.
I can't remember if it was F sharp or Boo that was, I looked at it and Boo, it was like Boo. The most confusing language ever for anybody who didn't understand.
Boo's been there for
a while.
Someone move back here.
Excellent.
You want some refills or are you okay?
I'm okay.
Would someone find a sheet music laying around Microsoft and decide to name all their program languages after all the.
Oh no, it's based off of C sharp. So, yeah. Which is based off of C++.
Whatever the E sharp.
They skipped it because F sharp is better.
E was the beta.
I assume F is because it is a functional programming language.
So this is actually a programming language?
Yeah.
For what?
It's kind of a scripting language for .NET framework.
Basically.
Boo is a much better scripting language for standard things that you would use as scripting language.
I'm going to go ahead and argue that Microsoft has never made a decent scripting language.
Okay, I'll agree with that. I'm not saying Boo is great. I'm saying it's better.
Boo's been there for some time. I think that Banshee, they're using Boo in some aspects.
Yeah, Banshee actually, all the
shutdowns
are written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
it on
the
latest? Yep.
Yeah.
So it's Banshee. I don't know. If you're going to pick
this one, I haven't changed distros in almost a month.
You must be disordering furniture.
Right? Yeah, I just don't have time to distro off.
As soon as we're
disappointing. disappointing. There's some article about Parted Magic, so I'm using GParted, so Parted Magic is under program to part partitioning hard drive. Right? And this USD killed Radio Star, what it is, it's USD is Ubuntu Digital Open Summit, and they have twice a year, and all the sessions were actually recorded. So on their website, there are links to the whatever the sessions are. So whatever is going to be in the next release, they were actually talking about it. Maybe it will make their own people laugh. So if somebody has a lot of time on their hands, like you. You can watch.
4 weeks of open time.
Yeah,
the extra time I have is...
Oh,
I'm sorry, I caught myself up at 2 a.m. watching the story of Hans Reiser not that long ago.
Hans Reiser.
No, I didn't remember Reiser.
Is that a horror story?
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he murders the wife, his wife that he would not.
CBS Weekly Special?
I think that's what it was on CBS.
So undercover investigation. Yeah. Hans Reiser.
Really? Yeah.
And the last article there was open source programming language, languages for kids. So if somebody is a kid, then
are they visual, like the
Lego storms? Order one of them was just, I don't know why it was even on the list.
I think they're saying that some of them is a visual basic and some of them are different. So whatever.
Yeah, this first one, Scratch, actually looked kind of interesting. You're gonna have to go and actually do a screenshot of it.
Is that the MIT thing with the little puzzle pieces?
It's not like you click on that. Yeah. You might want to make it bigger. I think Firefox can small and it for you.
What does it do? Well, you get little sprint animations that walk around and fall into holes and things like that.
It says hello.
Yeah. Well, you can put a hole in the ground and then have it walk forward and fall into it, you know.
This is derived from
their Robocode thing, that brick thing that they have with Lego.
Yep.
They have that same system of
saying that stuff. Sort of idea. You stumble through, like when I was teaching myself COBOL, like I just needed a reference terms. Like, I've never been in a language.
It wasn't bad COBOL, you know, it was just...
I felt better coin money, currencies, and scheme than I did writing COBOL.
In COBOL, you couldn't do the separate... Well, you did separate
Dr. Scheme did it all for me.
But everything was in one file. It was such a beautiful... And all variables were actually local variables.
So like self-modifying code is an awesome idea. I just want to get all the variables.
I don't know. Let's keep on
going. Interface junkie now.
So there are actually different ones.
Jeez.
Alice. I think somebody was talking about Alice when we were in the coffee shop.
Oh, Alice. Yeah, Alice is a CME thing, and it actually it's better. It's not quite as kid stuff. It was. I thought I took a quick look at that. It was a little better than some of those other ones. It's actually what you can do with it.
And. I don't know about those other ones. Shoes. You can work for a shoe company.
Yeah, you should suggest using that.
Yeah, I will.
That might actually take off.
Delphi is that. I'm sorry to say that.
You tried to use Delphi for a while.
I did use it sometimes. It's a good place to do Java. I have still a few programs to get on. We had a talk about TeamCity server. That was the last time.
Are you using it?
Yes. We're not using it quite that much yet.
Okay.
Not to give you the full rundown, but it looks like it should be very nice.
That's one of my pet peeves.
Hey, look at your D-Knife guy.
I spent all day fixing Gmail stuff. The specs were changing.
Yeah, that's self-modifying.
That's what I needed. I needed self-modifying code to go along with the self-modifying.
If you have a visual basic user interface,
it's almost
that's right. If you had a BB GUI, you could get the IP address and then you wouldn't have any problems.
That's right. That's
totally true. Do you have that in real time?
There was an article that Gedit was compiled for Windows. So if you use it in Windows,
Windows doesn't really have any good editor programs.
There's one. It's called.
I don't really like that.
It's called
Notepad.
Well, really? Have you ever come across Notepad's bugs?
Oh no, there's some good programs by editors.
There's
two that I use. One's called Cool Edit, and the other one is Yen's File Editor. And they both for Windows code editors. They're both good. They have features that are
automatically pop it all the way to the right. You have one line, then you can't go back over, transcode it, back over to the right. That doesn't work.
Not bad.
Too many things going on.
There's one which I use in Windows. It's called NED. It's German NED. I love it. But it doesn't work.
I just import everything into Eclipse now and say screw it. I wish Eclipse could just open something up, but no, you gotta import it as a project.
Because, yes.
Just import my C drive as a project.
Burn your C drive.
Then you just go for it.
Well, I'm sure no one talked about that.
Yeah, there's not much to say. If you really want to see how crazy some of this stuff is, look at some of the dependency maps for Debian packages.
Somebody actually made a map of kernel. And it was like 40 feet long and 3 feet or 4 feet wide.
This looks like stuff that's
degenerated. It was just going off.
Well, this is all the packages that are related to every choice.
This will deepen your appreciation of aptitude and synaptic about what they're trying to deal with to get those things to work. They work
really well. So you have a cell processor, so you have the CACIR story on the launch.
Excuse me?
Well, just saying, speaking of cell processors, there's a couple stories down as the
human
that
we have heard.
I'm sorry.
Aren't you interested in this cup of coffee?
Yes. Did we actually talk about, I think we talked about this.
I did brought it up. Yes. That I found some interesting stuff on there for Inkscape.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in learning about Inkscape, there's a perfect site for it.
Control center in system settings. Oh, we were talking about control centers. Well, somebody was actually writing how other people are doing whatever they are doing. So I guess it was from usability point of view. Huh. So care about it.
Was it just an article of Ash on Yas then?
Is it like
no, I think Yas was omitted.
It's pretty much a rebuttal on people who say everything should be in one place. Well, these guys don't do it. These guys don't do it.
I don't know.
That's whatever.
It's like trying to read on all excuses on like human computer interaction. It's a little bit.
I think that the computer and human are unnatural anyway. So what have you learned this book? What are we doing? My computer was born with me.
They were actually able to just recently reproduce what somebody was seeing on a computer screen by reading their brain waves.
Yeah, that's scary. Actually, they have legal and forensic things for that. They're gonna. There was a case where they actually convicted some guy because this brain scan thing said that he recognized a scene of a crime where he was claiming he hadn't been. And they convicted this. It was like, DNA kind of use of...
But if you watch the movie, you end up there anyway.
What they do is they show you a virtual reality image of a location. And if they're claiming
but
that they can look at your brain activity,
your brain can distinguish if you were there in person or if you saw it in a picture.
Well, but that's the point. I think this is bogus. But the point is they're claiming that this will
be like a lie detector test whether or not you are familiar with the particular
location. We know how lie detectors are accurate.
Well, that's right, but they still convicted this guy based on this.
It's like that Will Smith movie where they, did you see that, where it's in the country? Was it Western movie, Will Smith?
And, Wild Wild West?
Yeah, and the guy puts a lamp in the guy's
eye. Yeah, the guy's some last image.
The last image out of his eyes.
Right.
That's what that sound reminds me.
Right. Well, it's very weird, but it really raises questions about basic liberties. Because, I mean, for example, you're not required to testify and say something that will incriminate yourself. But you can't prevent them from taking a DNA sample, which could incriminate you.
And now you don't even have the same thing in your own head.
Right.
There's a Robin Williams movie that was based on that concept too. Cutter, I think it was called. It was like, you could have at birth, there was an option to implant some small chip that basically recorded every moment of whatever that person saw for their entire life. And his job as a cutter was to sort of crop and edit the whole life and divide everything up into categories, and then his job was basically a giant video editor of everything that person ever saw in their entire life. And they make like a video summary for the funeral.
That program had to crash like once every 2 minutes.
That was the concept of the movie. It was Cutter, I think it was called. It's Robin Williams.
Yeah, I do.
It's modern, only a couple years ago.
I think it's Robin Williams.
Or it doesn't even get to the auto save. You power up, shoot mid control S. Quick control S. Quick control S.
I do like Jacoby and all these more options. But he was released right in the movie's closing. They added an auto save because it dies.
Well, that's self-preservation.
It's written in Python, so it just goes away.
Actually, they don't get a stat trace or nothing, it's just gone.
Actually, what they should do. So it has autosave. So as you would actually notice that it crashed, it should actually restart itself by the process.
Yeah, and restore the autosave.
Yeah. Do that. They were like full security cameras, but taking a picture of that. Just bring my screen scroll for a second.
It's not crashing. I think
it's not screen scroll itself.
That's what it's called. The final cut is the name.
See you guys next week.
Thanks for coming, We were talking about Music Brains for the service. What is the service?
It's free.
I would say make it so.
Make it so.
Yes. Unless you use Windows version.
And here we have a Linux wallpapers. Somebody had a wallpaper there.
That's one of the better ones I've seen.
This one is the best wallpaper.
Yeah. A little grayer maybe would be just perfect.
Probably not.
Okay, let's go. That was a good one.
Just as I... there was something about OpenMoco.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we all
look at
OpenMoco is really interesting. I mean, you know, if we want to get the cell phone companies not to abuse our rights, we ought to know more about OpenMoco.
Yeah. I'm going to buy OpenMoco.
I'm not.
It's a project to develop operating systems and applications for cell phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, open source. They sell a really nice developer kit. You get a phone and all the stuff you need to flash the RAM, ROMs, and stuff like that.
But do I have to pay extra if I want Google to, you know, just as a service for me to take information about where I am, granted, and things like that?
Well, that's what they're working out. I mean, they're trying to make it so that folks can't just dictate what the cell phone companies can
do. I thought that incident has kept me away from that particular company.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I mean, see, that's the thing. I mean, a cell phone is a nice idea, and it's too bad the cell phone companies spoil it, you know, so.
Interesting movie about the abilities of cell phones and computers. Eagle Eye, that came out recently. It's a really good movie. Yeah. A kid from Transformers, I don't know his name, I think. So it's a really cool movie where basically this secret government supercomputer basically activates him and frames him for having all sorts of illegal terrorist equipment in his apartment. And it sort of convinces him to do all of these different things along with about a half and a dozen other people to try to put together a scheme to kill the president. But it's all based on the concept that the government now has the ability to listen to anything you say through your cell phone, even when it's
shut off.
You know, even when it's shut off.
But they've had that ability to do that with your, you know, your regular landline phone too, for years. That's right. You just wrap a coil around the wire outside, and you're in. So.
That looks like the fact that you can pick up local and treat it on the keyboard.
Because they were church.
There was actually today, there was something about Bushism.
Higher presence is Bushism.
There is
Bushism. There was like two books out before he became president on Bushism.
So here it is, actually. They miss.
Misunderestimated.
I actually used that quote today. That work.
Or the last one was, hang on.
I understand small business growth. I was one.
Yes. But when he's talking about education, you know?
And so trying to put food on your family?
No, not that one. Not your family. I'll be long gone before some smart people ever figure out what happened inside of this Oval Office.
Continue this. All I can tell you is when the government calls, the answer is no. I the decider, and I decide what is best.
Yeah, that's the one I like.
Actually, he wasn't elected first then.
Kind of.
Did they
No, it was a speed.
Close enough to let him.
Here they are.
Came down to his brother, the governor of Florida.
Yeah, they just got better the second time.
Really? And third time is the charm.
Third time is the charm.
Anybody see the HBO special on the digital voting systems? I forget what the name of the machine is called, but it was on several years ago about how, you know, they did an independent investigation to find out if they could modify the results of an election without having access to the machines that are actually calculating the votes. But they had like little cards that looked like little CMCIA slot cards that basically collected the votes. And there was some programmer who was able to take several of these cards. And he basically manipulated the way that it stored data so that it actually stored negative votes. Mm-hmm. So that when people's votes actually came in, it was counting against the negative to start. And they proved that it was true when they released this. It was, ironically, the two places where these types of voting machines are used are the Dayton, Ohio area and the Cincinnati, Ohio area, two of the most closely held election areas, which was sort of the deciding major populations of Ohio, which was the major deciding areas for 2004.
It's even worse than that. They actually have figured out that they don't flip the votes in areas where the spread was too great because it would be too obvious. They actually have, you know, a way of figuring out where and how much they can flip votes in a particular region that would be credible. It wouldn't just automatically kick out as a, you know,
conspiracy to me.
Don't worry, the Free Software Foundation is going after
you. I do worry.
Physical security model worked for Windows for forever. I mean, if you can't get to it, it's
safe. About the BBC thing, it was talking about security. They had an interesting article on BBC today about throwing away your old hard drives and how easy it is to get your data off that. They basically recommend smashing it with a hammer. That's the only safe way to throw it out.
Yeah,
Put it
into a 12-volt power source, let's spin up and drop it off your
head. The bulk eraser at the university is a good treat.
Could you just use DB?
Because there's a residue, there's an electronic residue.
Yeah, I thought it was 3 to 4 times. Once you rip it 3 to 4 times,
that's what I thought.
It's from what I've
heard, like 2 times.
I read an article on this. No data recovery warehouse will even attempt to recover a hard drive that's been wiped from the TV. There was a website for a year, they were doing a challenge. And they had a pot of money basically building up. And they contacted all the major warehouse, you know, people and said, you know, if you can do this, you'll get the you know, the little funds that we got and you'll get on our website as a little award.
Well,
nobody would even touch it. Because I don't know how
Most service-based hardware recovery, though, is much less in terms of looking for software salvage, and it's a lot more on the hardware end where you're like contracting or rebuilding flags from physically failed or that. So, I mean, there's software, certainly, but it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, try to recover data that's been over all zeros.
Well, you wouldn't overwrite it.
I mean, sure, you should
actually have the right amount of pattern.
Yep.
Or not even a pattern.
Random pattern?
That sounds like
I actually, you can use
the smart drive to have the right IP, unless your hardware is
a smart drive.
As long as it's multiplied by like that's fine.
All you do is take all the ones, make them zeros, all the zeros, make them ones, and then the two average out, it's even, right?
Well, if you got if you have a smart hardware that's installed across, they have a built-in utility that actually readjusts how the head on the drive works. It creates a larger field to wipe out the drive. And it'll wipe out a drive in a quarter of the time it was.
It's that same utility that secretly like makes the drive fail faster. You have to buy a new one, right?
One of the Security Now episodes, Steve Gibson, the guy wrote that spin rate program, he was talking about how many times you have
spin rate
actually crap program.
No. Do it.
It's $8. You can buy it.
No, I know. I've used it as well.
You can get it.
But it works. It does work.
Yeah,
it's so small.
I don't know. I had just as good a trap. Or with other stuff, I guess. Money's.
But he was saying, like, even that you were talking about the network thing, he said that wouldn't work on a marker.
No, it doesn't, because the thing is that there's always a certain number of the magnetic particles that don't get realigned no matter what you do to them. And they've actually been able to, you know, forensic processes have pulled data off of that little piece where the head doesn't track quite right. And they can still reproduce huge amounts of you know, the data that was originally there many layers down. And there's always a certain amount of mistracking that the head does, and they can try to assemble these pieces of these, you know.
That's why you've got to add multiple iterations. That's why that
yeah, multiple that. Iterations help that.
Shake
mold.
The drive as you're trying to get those extra space.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on how much you're willing to, how much money you're willing to put into the process. But you know, the physical potential for it there is
long story short,
huge amounts.
Yes,
But he did say Steve said drilling it.
Yeah, that's what I've done.
Put two drill.
You just have to do that for different components that place over.
Oh, yeah. You literally have to smash it by law with your gun.
Yep.
So, drill it or. I had a friend
at work. Drill them hand.
I had a friend in my last job. He liked to take them home. He did the company a favor. He took the hard drives home and shot them. He'd come back, there's bullet holes in the hard drives. It was pretty cool.
Shall we finish whatever we are doing?
Sure.
Can we start going? So this is the website we should load. So there are some...
Just hit penguins?
Yeah.
I still like the windows.
Dr. Evil.
I had to call it there.
Yep.
Close IO.
Do you ever see hackers too?
Takedown.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually, I think that's mislabeled though, because the movie technically is just called Takedown.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, and it's the story of Kevin Mitnick. It's not really
followed up.
It's not their news.
Yeah. But it's still
great.
I thought it was
long.
Most of those
are clean.
When I first downloaded it, I was like, is this the wrong movie? Is this a bad movie?
Yeah, so that's what the same thing happened to me, because it was labeled Hackers 2, so I'm like, no.
And there was something about personal financial obligations for Linux. So they're talking about six of them.
Speaking of personal.
Yeah, I can tell you about Grisby, the only documentation is in French.
Any problem there?
And you can't change it, you can't get rid of euros. Everything that you put in will also be in euros.
Well, then you know, you will have your converter coming in and coming out. And you adjust by the rate.
It's better than Microsoft Money, I'll say that for it.
I'm not going to skip the MD5.
We can talk about it.
I mean, do you have the picture of the
this one?
Of the cell, of the PSPs they use? They use 200 PS3s and cell processors therein to actually perform and distribute.
No picture.
Oh, that's too bad. But yeah, those cell processors are pretty sick.
So tell us about it.
What they did specifically? What they did specifically was they found an update to the, I don't know how familiar people are with the MD5 patching, but they basically made some improvements to the suffix creation in terms of collisions, which allowed them to basically duplicate a certificate authority key. There's also some random information, which is what they're using cell processors with. But as a result, they were able to produce a valid, in terms of hash, and yet illegitimate certificate, which would allow for a perfect random attack, basically. So pretty serious stuff. That's a big reason why a lot of the CAs now don't allow MD5 hashing, or they require a shallow one as well. Yeah.
But it's still MD5, it's still around.
Oh yeah, it's still around. Well, I remember talking about these vulnerabilities in school, and my professors even explaining that, you know, they thought it was a travesty that any banks at all use these algorithms enough, a theoretical vector is enough.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me now.
We have a few how-tos. How to create encrypted Sabashir.
It's MD5, right?
I think so. Let me check it out. And the top.
Well, actually, kind of interesting side note, the site that they used to do the cert for was Mozilla.
That's the
cert. Yeah.
So maybe not. And then back the rest with tomorrow. Firmware and tomato, tomato. Perfect desktop, OpenSUSE, GNOME, and Apache 2 authentication using MySQL as a backend. So you have users.
Anybody point me some that helped me with WebDAV? Is that how you say it? WebDAV stuff? Is there a good tutorial for that or something?
I'm sure there is.
What is WebDAV?
No, it's a shared file.
It's essentially, it's sharing through what they do.
Well, there's a thing called Sync Places, which syncs your passwords and your bookmarks from various machines. The nice thing about it is it works from any OS. But the authentication, I can't get it to.
The only real experience I have with it was working with Oracle Portal. You can actually use WebDAV to access the portal repository. So that's a pretty limited experience. I don't know if I've seen any good documents.
Yeah. So I'd be happy to get it to work pretty wide open and then sort of tighten it up as I go.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get it to work at all. So what's the minimum way to make sure that the machine will allow access to write access to the other machine?
I'm not sure. I would have, for just a general context, I don't know. I don't think that'd be a good resource for that.
Okay. Well, just, helps to ask someone.
No.
Yeah.
What about here? This guy here. Actually, this is the guy why I'm brewing right now. Yeah, actually, he had on HBR Summit, so he's doing so. That's a cool guy here. Just on deck, So,
that's why you're brewing beer?
Yeah, because he talked about it.
On his hacking public radio?
Yeah, on HBR.
On hacking beer?
No,
it's a culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is free format, so you can talk whatever you want to talk about.
Oh.
People look at whatever episodes, I think we are going to wrap it up.
I got a question.
Okay.
Does anybody know of any good address book programs for Linux?
Like just for manual?
Yeah.
Well, you can have Thunderbird, or you can have whatever.
You're looking for something in the kind of an email client?
Yeah, I've been looking for a long time. I really want something that's
maybe something that can be integrated with an email client, but not looking for an email client per se.
Y'all remember what it's called? There was some good articles out there about like PDA syncing, and you know, there's a couple of independent ones. I'll see if I can do some research. I'll see if I can find some
resources. Nothing really rings a bell, you know. The, mostly it would be integrated, you know, within an email client manager or your
site. I don't know. I can take another look at Thunderbird and see maybe that.
What do you have in love with Opera? Isn't there a contact manager?
Yeah, Opera has a contact manager too. But
okay, let's do that.
What's wrong with that? I mean, maybe I could. What is it you don't like about
this? Well, I haven't really taken on a pulse look at it. Actually, Amanda was looking for one, so.
Can you use her CRM?
Did she try Zimian Evolution? Did she?
That's probably all right.
I don't know if she worked out.
It's a client. It's probably the closest to Outlook.
Evolution
is kind of got tweaked since it was, you know, sort of adopted by Zimian things from a while ago, but it's probably the closest integrated app similar to Outlook. So, or contact with KDE, you can try that.
The trouble with Evolution,
contact with KDE.
The weakness in Evolution is the calendar. It's really hard to use.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but I think I'm just trying how it is.
Sign off.
Yeah, I think that would be about it for today. Thanks for coming. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.